This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection. What's up, people? Today, we got one of the hottest up-and-coming artists in the motherfucking game. The incredibly talented, influential. He's such a great dude and somebody I'm really looking forward to watch his career unfold. Everybody give it up for Poppy Chulo Teej. Let's go. But what I was saying was, it's so crazy that people just put water in a container and sell it to us.
Yes, like, how do we know that all this shit on the back of this is accurate?
We don't.
You know?
We don't.
At the end of the day, we don't. All of our food, bro.
No. We are live. We're live, baby. And then we can roll in 5, 4, 3, 2. I like that intro, bro. That was so official. I made it feel like I'm on.
It was a smooth ass countdown.
Yeah, 5. You practiced that, Paul? You did? Yeah. Poppy Chulo Teej in the motherfucking building. What's up?
Thank you. Thank you for having me, bro.
Bro, I appreciate you taking the time out.
I love the setup, too. I like the setup, too. Even in the previous ones I've seen, it looks good.
Thanks,
pleasing
bro.
To the eye.
Thanks, bro. I was playing around with the colors. But green is my favorite color.
Is it? Has it been like that since you were a kid?
No.
Is it a new thing?
It's a new thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine's been like yellow and purple off and on.
Really? Mm-hmm. You a Viking fan?
I'm a Baltimore fan.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I support Vegas Raiders, though. I support it 100%.
Yeah.
But I just can't leave Baltimore like that.
It's okay. I'm not like a full-on Raider fan yet.
No? You have to see how they do first.
I haven't fully invested myself into it.
Like, I got to see before I commit.
Yeah, because I grew up here, so I never had a team. So I've been kind of...
Oh, so you've been here your entire life?
Man. My whole life. Born and raised.
Have you, like, wanted to live anywhere else?
Well, I lived in L.A. for a little bit.
Okay.
That was terrible.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it just the experience or everything in general?
Well, we were doing a whole bunch of criminal activity out there,
okay.
So it was not a pleasant experience for me.
I understand.
Yeah, so I lived out there. I also lived in Cleveland for a little bit.
Okay, we used to go to Columbus a lot. I lived in North Carolina for a little bit, too.
Oh, did you?
But my little sister had her appointments at the Nationwide Children's Center in Columbus, mm-hmm. so we used to be back and forth between there a lot.
Mm-hmm. Miserable.
Yeah?
Well, Cleveland
I wouldn't
was miserable.
I wouldn't want to live in Ohio. I'm good off that.
Ohio, bro. Me and my boy and my old roommates, everybody I went to school with, we call it the Ohio. It's like... Every time we go to Ohio, some bullshit happens.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Just always end up in some shit.
It's just always some weird bullshit, bro. But Ohio people are awesome, though, bro. I don't want to talk shit about Ohio. But
it's hella friendly people there. I will say that. People are hella nice, especially, like, when you get around down south, everybody's nice.
It's also, like, zombie land a little bit, though.
How so?
Well, it's like Ohio has... In, like, that Midwest, it's like... Mm-hmm. It's like pill popper central, like white trash pill popper central.
Are drugs bad in Ohio?
Yeah, dude. Like like drugs in the sense of like heroin and shit like that.
Oh.
Yeah, those kind of drugs.
Okay, they own some money.
And like real like white trash, like zombie
parts of shit, parts of North Carolina has that too.
Yeah, those rural areas where they don't got much to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a house every 4 miles type shit.
Yeah, man.
Lived there for a little bit.
Yeah, man. So where are you from though?
I'm from San Diego.
Oh, okay.
From San Diego. I spent my time there until about like freshman year of high school, and then I moved to North Carolina. Did 4 years of school there, and then I did a
college
year.
College or high school?
High school. I did a year of college in Coastal Carolina and South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then I dropped out. How I got out here was through the Air Force. I joined the Air Force once I dropped out. And after that, I just never really wanted to leave Vegas. I had a lot of friends and connects here, and I decided to get out early and just stay here.
How old were you when you got here?
I was 18 when I got here.
Jeez.
Yeah, I was 18. I'm 23 now.
Damn, so you went from San Diego... to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Talk about culture shock, huh?
Yeah, it's mad, bro. Like, especially as a freshman, just everything you're
used
to.
Was that miserable?
At first it was, because I was just so against everything. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to live there.
Yeah.
I wasn't even interested in, like, accepting it. But over time, like, probably sophomore years when I, like, grounded in and made, like, a good group of friends and started getting into sports and everything I did back in San Diego, I was just so attached to the idea of, like, how my life was going to be, like, graduating from San Diego and then, like, going to North Carolina. I was just like, yo, what the fuck is this?
Bro.
But I loved it. I love North Carolina.
Well, why?
just
no. Why did you? Why? How did you end up there with your?
Like, my stepdad retired from the Navy and he got a job with the VA in North Carolina.
Fucking stepdad.
Yeah.
God damn.
A nigga got a good job for what?
Fuck this guy. Like.
Right.
Yeah.
But it ended up molding me into who I am now, going in North Carolina. So I'm grateful that I like lived in two different areas.
Yeah, moves like that. That. Especially at that age, that's a tough age to just uproot and go somewhere else.
Right.
But I feel like when you move somewhere like that and kind of almost against your will, you have no choice but to grow from it.
Yeah, like change is always going to happen. There's nowhere to dodge it, you know? So that was
extreme change like that.
Yeah, just like resetting and starting completely over is scary sometimes. Yeah. Like really scary.
Do you think that experience helped you meet new people?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think it made me more personable. I think it made me more open to just, like, meeting people from different crowds and making different type of friends. And, like, I got hella friends that don't have nothing to do with music, too, and I love being around them a lot.
It's kind of like
it's like escape. A break. Yeah, it's like a break, too. Like, it's like people have, like, actual jobs that they're cool with, and they have their own path and their own journey, and that's perfectly fine. And it's good just to get away and just, like, watch a game on Sunday type shit, you know, and not worry about, oh, let's go record later.
Somebody trying to be a rapper and trying to get a feature from you and shit.
Yeah.
that happens a lot, I can only imagine.
As of recently, it has been happening a little more.
Damn. Hold up, bro. Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
All right, cool. I thought I unplugged my shit. Sound okay, right?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
Okay, cool.
I heard you the whole time. I don't know if it...
Okay, yeah, I don't... Well, there's that little silver part. It looked like it was out, but it's not. But all right, but well, dude, you're fucking blowing the fuck up, man.
Trying to. One day at a time.
You just posted you had 500,000 streams?
Yeah, on a project that I put out called Summer on the Run. It just broke half a million so on Spotify, so I'm really...
Is Spotify like your main... like?
It is. Yeah. Spotify became my main hub last year, and they've been showing me mad love as far as playlisting, and it's giving me more opportunities and a whole new audience of people.
Yeah, too. I personally hate Spotify, bro.
You don't like Spotify?
I hate it. I don't feel like I'm in control. Really?
As far as like your like
the music, I never subscribed, but I remember giving it one chance. I gave it one chance.
Wait, are you paying for it or are you just using the free version?
I was using the free version.
Oh, that's why you don't have control.
Yeah,
you gotta pay that $9.99.
Yeah,
and then, like once after that, just give up that $10 a month, and I promise you, bro, like those custom playlists,
they be
paying attention. It's like, yeah, they have all of our information. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. But
well,
like,
I subscribe to the other ones, so
right. But like, yeah, they make custom playlists for you. It's a lot. It's just set up so much more, especially for artists too.
Yeah,
as far as like being able to see some of your data and like where listeners are located and all that. I don't have the same like crossover with Apple Music.
Yeah,
like they still have some stats, but Spotify just lays it all out for you. So that's why I'm a fan of it.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
Do you look at that and look at those stats and be like, all right, I need to go there to perform?
Yeah. Before quarantine, that's how my mindset was. Now we've just been like running ads in like my top 10 cities as far as that.
Do you think all that shit is like accurate? How accurate do you think it is?
Because
are they really, they're really tracking all that shit?
I would think so.
So they're
I look at some of my followers that I get, and it's a lot. Some of them are kids, and they got like their bio with where they stay at and where they live at.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's been like California areas, Texas areas, Mexico, and places that are reflecting on Spotify too.
Yeah.
So it kind of matches up pretty well from what I've seen.
So that says that when you sign up for Spotify, you're getting geotagged, and you're getting tracked via Spotify.
They're letting us know where you live at. It's crazy how much access they have to us.
Man, what? That shit, I didn't even think about it like that until just now. Like, they're tracking you by the music you're listening to.
Or it's like, because you got to enter your credit card information, and that has an address, too, so they're probably just basing off of that, you would think.
Yeah, that's crazy. Does Apple Music do that in Tidal?
I mean, I would think, because they're a subscription-based service, too.
Yeah, I'm in the process of switching over to Tidal. From Apple.
You know, and they do pay the most of
that's why I'm doing it.
And it's like, what would happen if we all did that? If we get everybody to switch over Tidal or just get a change in general as far as like the pay per stream.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because the pay out to artists, because I'm so against what they're paying artists like on Apple per stream. How the fuck do they come up with that tiny little number and act like artists are supposed to be okay with
be
that?
Be able to fund something
come
off of that.
Come on, bro. Know? It's like,
I saw a tweet that was like, even if it was like 10 cents a stream, like if an artist gets 20K streams, that's $2,000 that they get to have, you know?
Bro.
And that's nothing.
Bro.
That's nothing not for to, 10 cents a stream.
Not to Apple.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a fraction of a penny.
Bro. That's crazy. Who I want to know the process behind.
Yeah, I would love to just be a fly on the wall when this conversation took place and they just decided to like.
This is how much it's worth.
Yeah, it was like they just had like a board with a dart and wherever it landed at the lowest fraction.
Yeah. Or how can we all still be billionaires and how can the artist still be broke? That's the number we're going to pick.
Yeah, it's there's going to be change at some point. So, because now there's a conversation about it too.
Yeah.
So it's being brought to people's eyes and the public. Yeah. So I definitely think there will be some movement towards it to change soon.
But it's also like it's public knowledge. Like everybody knows that Tidal pays the most.
It is public knowledge, but at the same time too, if it's not put in front of people's faces. What's up, Jern?
Oh, is that Sean? What's up, fool?
Fendi.
I was the homies,
he got the
do-rag
on. He clean. But if it's not put in front of people's faces, they're not going to go searching for it, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing, too, is like, Tidal pays the most, but you're not going to put all your music on Tidal.
No.
Because the exposure is probably worth more than.
Right. It's like, I'm showing mad love for Spotify because of what they're doing
but
for me.
But there's no laws, though, to regulate how much they can tax a stream.
Right. Right. So it's the Wild West right now as far as streaming.
The internet's the Wild West, bro.
Yeah, it really is. Look, you better not have feelings logging on the internet because people do not care.
They do not care
for your feelings at all.
Have your feelings got hurt on the internet by a stranger?
By a stranger before. Yeah, 100%, bro.
For
people
real?
Are just blunt. They don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not there trying to give you empathy. If it's trash, they're going to let you know. Or if they feel it's trash, they're going to let you know, too.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing.
Which is good.
Yeah. But it's also bad.
Other people will take it as like, oh, you're just a hater. And it's like not allowing yourself to be critiqued or at least having not everybody's going to like you at the end of the day.
Yeah, I feel like we live in a world where everybody's just afraid to say they don't like something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, they feel like they'll be going against the grain.
Yeah, they'll be labeled a hater and be dismissed, you know?
Yeah, people will pester you, especially over their art. Like, I get it, but at the same time, it's like, if you can't allow yourself to be critiqued, then what are you doing it for? How are you going to get anywhere as far as better, you know?
Yeah. So do you, like, limit the amount you go into your comments?
Oh, no, I'm in my comments.
Cool.
It don't really bother me. And
it's only
going to
get worse,
bro. I know.
It's only going to get worse.
Because I try to reply to everybody in my comments right now. Because it's not nothing that's unmanageable. So I could definitely get in there and interact, you know. But they're normally always positive. Always positive. For me, at least.
Yeah.
But I see, like, other people, bigger people that have to deal with that shit. And it just looks, like, unhealthy as hell.
So unhealthy. I would turn my comments off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you know what I would do if I was that famous and that rich? I would just hire somebody to run my account for me.
To run social media for you?
Because social media is like it's a wonderful tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
When if it's used correctly.
If it's used correctly, but just like anything else, it's not about like what it is. It's about how you use it. It's like not about what you say, but it's about how you say it.
Right.
It can be used in a lot of negative ways. I think we're all open to. How old are you? If you don't mind
23.
Me asking. You're only 23 years old?
I just turned 23. I just turned 23 this
okay,
year.
Well, we're not that far off, but I feel like people in our generation are kind of like getting tired of social media in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I've had conversations with some of my friends about it just in general as far as like how it's kind of required now for the type of career that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like you want to unplug, but it's like, I feel like I'm losing touch with my career if I do, you know? So it's like, I try, I try, but I fail every time. I'm on Twitter.
Cause you're addicted, bro.
Yeah, so many times throughout the day.
Bro.
So many
times.
Nothing.
I just posted my screen time.
Scrolling.
I had to hold myself accountable cause I was ashamed of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I looked at my screen time. I haven't looked at my screen time in a while. And usually when I look at my screen time, it's an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get upset about that. But since I started the podcast,
mm-hmm.
bro, my daily average is 3 hours.
3 hours?
And 40 minutes or
something
like that.
Mine's like 4.5.
Bro, Bro.
4.5.
On your phone.
The worst I had was like 6 at one point.
Bro. Oh,
yeah, that's, and it's like, I don't, do just scrolling. Scrolling,
you're
bro.
Addicted,
it's
bro.
Like, I don't count the like replying to texts and like the other stuff that I like need to do. But as far as like Instagram, Twitter, I don't get on Facebook. I just go there to check on my family and make sure they're good. Mm-hmm. But Twitter and
you don't
Instagram,
post to Facebook?
I really just check it to see what my family's doing.
Dude.
Honestly, like I post like as far as like my Teej account, but like my personal account, I'll be up there just like posting shit like I normally do.
But dude, 6 hours? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was like the beginning of this year.
Dude, shout out to Dawson because remember what he said, bro, it's too many ass and titties, bro.
Yeah, bro.
God damn.
He was talking to me about that a little bit too.
Fuck.
But yeah, he's actually one of that I had the conversation with. He brought it up as far as like screen time too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, they're just like putting it in our face. Like, here you go. What are you going to do about it?
Because there's no...
It's how much you're on your phone.
Bro, because there's no regulations about, like, what's like, mentally healthy for you. There's no, like, scientific data that says, all right, we're gonna let humans use their phones for 1 hour a day because anything more than that is detrimental to their brain and their social skills or whatever the case may be. There's mm-hmm. none of that.
Right.
And I think... I personally think there should be because... Because the kids now, like, my niece is, like, in middle school.
Dude. Yeah. My little sister went viral on TikTok, and my mom can't get her off her phone.
They're addicted.
Off her phone,
because it's dopamine being released, because it's social. You're being acknowledged, you know what I mean? You're validated.
Right.
People know who you are. It's like it taps into the human need to be acknowledged.
Some type of happy and dopamine being released.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say, well, I guess it's scientifically proven that every time you get on your phone, it's like you see your friend out, you know what I mean, randomly, like Fendi just walked in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all got excited real quick.
Right.
Because a small amount of dopamine got released in our brain because we're social creatures. We're social humans. Right. You know what I mean?
I think it was because of the do-rag, personally.
Oh, but, what did he have? It was a silk?
It looks silk.
He had a silk.
He ain't there.
It wasn't
no
a bonnet. It wasn't a bonnet.
You know, you got to put his bonnet on before you go to bed.
Oh, I shouldn't. I don't feel like I'm in a. My white ass isn't in a position to be commenting on bonnets and do-rags. Don't let me get canceled, bro. You got to stop me, man.
It's crazy. It's a couple. Like, bro, I see everybody wearing do-rags now, too. It's wild.
White people?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It doesn't really bug me, but, like, it's.
Is that gas?
You know, I put the cup down after we went live because I felt
is
something.
Is that gasoline?
I felt something hit my chest. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to just stick to water for now.
I don't know about that.
I enjoy smoking much
more. Jesus.
But it don't really bug me because I know it's just a fashion statement. And at the end of the day, like, that's really people are.
It doesn't
are
bother you?
I know it does bother some people, but me personally, it's like, it's not going to bug. It does bug me that, like, you don't have the texture of hair to. For what that's used for is really just because it's trendy right now. So that's the only thing that bugs me about it, really. Yeah. But honestly, I'm not going to, like, if I see someone at the gas station,
it's not that deep to you.
You don't take that shit off.
Like, it's not that deep to you.
Yeah. There's other stuff that is, but the do-rags is, it's just stupid to me.
It is stupid.
Yeah.
It is so stupid. I haven't seen a white dude wear a do-rag.
Really?
Nah, man.
The internet's a big place.
Maybe because on the internet.
In person.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen any in person too, but I just see all this stuff online too. So it made me just realize that there's other places that just wear it as a fashion statement.
What else gets on your nerves? That white people do.
This is a good question. Yeah, it's a couple. it's a couple that I don't know. It's just one gas station when I first moved to the southwest side of town when I first came. And this dude, I always stop there for gas and I would always like grab a drink or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he would always lock eye contact with me while I was in the gas station. Like I was like doing
something
or up to something. Yeah, he was an employee.
Uh-huh.
And I would just look back and I just hate being stared at for no reason. Like, cause
there's a reason.
I'll get on. Yeah, there's definitely a reason. But I'll stand there and just be bullshitting on my phone.
Yeah.
And it's not like, yo, bro. Like, I'm not putting shit in my pockets. Why are you eyeing me down like that? You know.
Yeah.
That asking to touch hair. It hasn't happened to me personally, but I've seen it happen to
so cringy.
Black females in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why are you so comfortable to where you just feel like you could touch somebody's head that you don't know?
Not an adult.
You know. Yeah.
Happens with kids.
Yeah, that's
it,
different.
Yeah.
But we're grown ass adults. Like. You have no place to be asking to touch someone you don't know.
That's so offensive, bro.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Hey, man. Yeah, it's been a wild year, that's for sure.
It has been. How's all this made you feel as a black man in America?
It's terrifying, honestly. It's honestly because you don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. Mm-hmm. And I just know that it puts a lot on my mom, too, and that makes me feel bad, too, because I'm far from her. And she's worrying and seeing that the world's on fire and with everything going on. So it does suck, but it definitely was needed because this change has sparked off of this. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely still a lot more that needs to be done in the process, too.
Yeah, there's a... It's weird when you think about it because this has just been going on for so long, and I almost want to think like, is this a turning point or are we fooling ourselves?
Yeah,
because there's been riots before. There's been actual riots. Yeah, people were rioting, but like it's been worse riots, bro. It's been worse. There? Yeah, like L.A. in L.A. in the 60s.
I wasn't alive.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. No, I mean,
I
know
neither of us.
But you know what I mean. Right. But it's like. I'm not saying, I'm saying like this has been an ongoing battle. So what I'm trying to say is like, is this really a turning point? Because it feels like that to us because we're in the moment.
It definitely like energy wise, it feels like there's been a shift. I feel like I've gone through at least three during this whole like quarantine process. Mm-hmm. So I definitely feel like there was some type of change.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot more that needs to be done as well, you know.
Well, I think the old white people got to die for real. The old white guys, the old white men got to die out.
I was just literally talking about this with my mom. Have you you heard of Andrew Yang?
Yeah, he was running for president.
I was like, if my sister's generation, she's 18. I was like, she's 17 turning 8. I was like, if they're older, if they were older and in this position now, I think he would have won. Same thing with Bernie too. I think
all the young people love Bernie.
It's taking like the older generation, sadly to say, to die out
for
new morals and customs to even be brought up and thought about, you know?
Bro, you think about who's in control now? Bro, fucking Biden and Trump. Bro, these people, these white dudes have been in power since the 70s and the 80s, bro.
So long.
they're the same people, bro.
It's a family thing, too. They're all the entire families, bro.
Yeah, it's a boys club for sure. So it's sad to say that these are our choices this year.
Yeah, we don't got much.
Are you voting?
Really. I haven't decided yet, to be honest. I haven't decided yet. More like I want Trump out of there more than anything, but at the same time, it's just like morally knowing both of them have been exposed for different things, and I just don't know where I sit. Like I definitely wouldn't vote for Trump. The question is, am I even going to vote for Biden at all? You know?
Yeah, that's what I feel the same.
It's
way.
Like, do I want to be a part of this?
I
want him out bad, but at the same time, I'm just like, look where we are now, you know?
We don't.
And look at the shit that's been exposed about y'all that nobody talks about.
You know? Biden is like, to me, not much better. Mm-hmm. To me, he's more of a puppet. He's old as fuck. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not. I don't even think if he does get elected, I don't think he'll make it.
You don't think so?
I think he'll go to take a nap.
It's crazy how I've seen like they added Kamala to his cabinet, and I'm like, weren't you just slandering her like a year ago?
Oh my god, so stupid, bro.
Yeah, man, it's just
the fact that they're allowed to get on a stage and just talk shit to each other and slander each other.
And then a year later,
and these are our leaders, like
roommates. You know, it's weird. It's just weird.
She'll be the first one if they get elected. She'll be the first woman president. Mark my words.
Think so?
Because Biden ain't gonna last,
bro. Get him out of there that quick?
No, he's gonna. I feel like he's gonna croak.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's too old. He's not there.
Yeah.
He's gonna croak, bro. And then he's president. He's gonna fucking get so excited at the inaugural address.
I bet you everything goes back to normal though once the election's over.
Yeah.
Everything is just back to how it was.
Think so? People think it's gonna be mayhem. People saying it's gonna be mayhem election.
Look at it now, now, like the world's already on fire. Everything's going on with them. They've learned basically how to live with this virus. Everybody else is cool.
Yeah,
they're getting back to normal.
Yeah,
we're the only ones that learned how to live with it. You know.
Yeah. So. Do you think it's fake?
Oh no, it's definitely not fake. Yeah, it's definitely. I know friends that have lost like family members.
Me too.
I've known people that pisses me off too. People being online talking about the shit is fake. I'm like, bro, there are people out there that are actually dying. You know,
conspiracy theorists, bro.
Yeah, it's not that deep. People are actually getting sick. People are actually dying, and that's the end of it, really.
Yes. are you a conspiracy theorist?
I look into them. I believe a good amount.
All right, do you think we landed on the moon?
I do think we did do that.
You think we've been there?
I think we've been to the moon before.
You think we've been to the moon when we said we went to the moon?
No, I don't.
Think that was fake?
I think the timing of it was definitely off, but I definitely believe we've been there. I think it maybe have just been a front to show like other countries, hey, we're ahead of y'all right now.
Yeah.
You know, and then we've been there at some point, though.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know they're sending the first woman to the moon pretty soon?
Are they, like, this year?
I think this year. Yeah. I'm like, damn, a woman hasn't been to the moon yet?
I would have thought. So, like, yeah, I would have definitely thought. If you would have told me that it already happened, I definitely would have believed you. But it's like 2020. I kind of expected it to happen already.
Dude, this year is so crazy, bro.
Has it felt long or short for you?
The year?
Yeah.
The year has felt long for me.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, I never really thought about it. But I guess, yeah, it has kind of dragged on a little bit.
It feels like it's moving very quick for me now, but for about 3 to 4 months, it just felt forever. It felt like
during quarantine?
Yeah, yeah. And I love it. It just felt like it was lasting forever.
Did you need it, though? Did you enjoy it?
I definitely needed it. I don't know if it's what I wanted, but it definitely did help me mold and learn how to work from home and get different side hustles in the meantime. Yeah. And just be able to keep up with life, because, I mean, like, they gave us $1,200, and that was really it, you know? It's crazy. What this proved to me, too, is that they could fix anything they want to.
Yeah.
San Diego has one of the worst homeless problems, too. Really? Not worse than L.A., but we're pretty bad. And I'm like, at the snap of the fingers, y'all just issued everybody $1,200, but we've been dealing with homeless problems, homeless veterans for years, and none of that's even been batted an eye at, you know?
Yeah.
I may have just kicked something.
Kick something?
I think
technical support.
Yep. We're good. Can you still hear
cool.
me?
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Cool.
We're still good? Okay, cool.
My bad.
It is crazy how they just had all that money sitting there, and it's kind of like they just said, "Okay, don't riot. Don't kill each other.
Right.
We're going to give you this little bit of money and just stay calm."
I love seeing the rioting. It got them to make some type of change. No, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what else? What are people supposed to do?
Yeah, y'all weren't listening when people were moving peacefully and asking politely. So we fucking shit up for a little
bit. Yeah, for real.
I enjoyed seeing it. Twitter was a madhouse. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah,
Twitter I've been on Twitter. Madhouse. Bro, I'm so Twitter lame, bro. I be having these fire tweets in my head, but they just don't translate.
I leave so much shit in my draft just because I'm like, nah, it's not going to hit today.
Yeah. It's timing, too. It's timing.
Yeah.
You know G. Reed?
I do. Yeah.
Bro, he be keeping my Twitter alive, bro.
He is hilarious.
He is so funny, bro.
He is hilarious.
So funny. But, yeah, man, it's the I enjoyed quarantine. Aside from the stress of not knowing what's going to happen, I think it was needed for a lot of people.
A good break
where
it was a good reset.
It was because
under the circumstances, no. But like it was a good reset. I think.
I think about single moms. I think about people that work their fucking ass off just to keep their head above water.
Right.
And they, you know what I mean? They got to go home and spend some time with their kids.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I didn't complain. Like, over anything, just because I knew it's people out there that have it worse than I do. Like, I have nothing to complain about. It's just rough, but, like, at the same time, it's someone who's going through much, much worse than I am, so I have no reason to be ungrateful. You know?
At all. You got kids?
I have no kids.
Good, bro.
No plans to have kids right now at all.
Cool, bro. You going to get married one day?
I would like to. At some point one day, I think I would like to, yeah.
After you're done being a pop star?
Like, I kind of...
touring the world and like groupies, you know what I mean?
I look forward to that experience too, but I definitely want to have something genuine that I'll hold on to.
Yeah.
Definitely, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like that life is pretty lonely.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always just been a lover boy, that's for sure. Yeah. Like, I've always been a sucker for a relationship.
Yeah, I don't trust these hoes either, man.
You don't?
No.
Why not?
You hear so many stories about these girls just setting people up, just like, you know, don't trust these girls out here, man.
I mean, you have to look at the city we live in, too. Yeah, it's a different lifestyle out here. That's for sure.
True. You know, we have the highest divorce rate in the country.
Do we?
and the highest dropout rate, too.
What's the percentage for divorce rate, if you know it?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
Is it, like, above 50?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wasn't America's, like, whole divorce rate at 50% at 1.2? Or is it still?
Probably.
That's wild.
But what do you expect? Don't come to Las Vegas and expect a nice family life, bro.
Yeah, you ain't come here to fall in love. Stop
come
lying.
On, man. You didn't uproot your whole family to put your kids in the worst school district in the country.
I don't want to raise a family here, that's for sure. Yeah. My goal is to get back to San Diego at some point.
San Diego's beautiful, bro.
It's just expensive.
So expensive.
That's literally it.
I grew up going to La Jolla, like,
okay, yeah.
Just for vacation.
You know where, like, Point Loma, Mission Beach area
is?
Yeah. That's where I'm from.
Okay. Oh, you're right there.
Right down
that's
the street.
That's nice, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like La Jolla Cove where the seals are and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to love going there as a kid.
Yeah, I went back like a month ago, took a trip.
You still got friends out there?
Oh, yeah. I still got hella friends out there, people that came back from college that live there now. So,
bro, your music is so California.
That's where my biggest audience is. It took me leaving San Diego to get a fan base there. It's crazy.
Bro, that's why I tell everybody from Vegas, get the fuck out, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Go somewhere else, bro.
And I think everybody just assumes that I'm here. Like, I'm from here.
Well, you planted your flag out here.
Yeah, I just popped up 1 year, and everybody assumed that I grew up here, been here.
So when you got here, though, how'd you, like, plant your flag?
I would say First Friday. First Friday and meeting Dawson. Yeah, I performed at First Friday for, like, a year, and they were the only ones that booked me for a while, and I built, like, a following off of that. And First Friday was fun after, like, 4 months of doing it
because
people actually started to come out, and then we would actually have an actual event with my name attached to it.
Dope.
First Friday, shout out to them. They showed me mad love when I first moved here. And Dawson. Dawson, when I met him at the old Junction Complex on Spring Mountain, and we didn't start working immediately, but we started working a couple months after that, and then gradually just started working more and more together, and then eventually did a project and became closer friends off of it. So
yeah,
those were definitely two things that, like, catapulted me when I first got here.
Nice. So did you how'd you get in with First Friday, though? Do you just, like, showed up, or were you, you sent him a message or something?
Yeah, so I was staying in between at this place called Six and Franklin too.
Yeah,
and
I know the place. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah,
took a couple parties there.
Joey, the owner of the house, he knew people that, well, he was involved in First Friday.
Okay.
And so I had met him through a jam session and staying there on the couch a couple times.
Yeah.
And
it's such a dope spot, bro.
It is. It's just a vibe. Everything, especially
vibe,
going there,
bro,
when there's a bunch of people there.
Yeah.
It's
bro.
Always really fun to go.
Yeah.
But Joey plugged me with First Friday, and this group of friends that I was with had brought me to Junction Complex for, like, an insta meet that Von Perez was having there, and that's how I met them, Tenez, Dawson. And a couple months later, I started working with him.
Nice, bro.
Kind of how I got, like, introduced to, like, the new things in the city, like Tuesday Blend at the time, First Friday, all the different events.
Yeah, you and Dawson got it going on right now.
Got a motherfucking sound right now.
Got it going on, bro.
He helped me out.
I love
a lot.
It. So that's dope that you get, that you're, like, that you guys have that history, too.
Yeah, it definitely was meant to happen. I feel like that. I feel like shit worked out the way it was supposed to, for sure, with him.
Yeah, it sounds like well, things usually tend to last and tend to be really productive when it's organic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It comes from a real place, or you guys met, like, you didn't meet through social media or anything like that. Like,
nothing was forced. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's dope.
That's my brother.
He's doing his thing too, man.
He is,
Aren't
man.
You proud of him, bro?
100%.
So
bro.
Inspiring,
he did his
bro.
Thing. He stayed quiet over quarantine and came up.
He's still quiet.
Stayed quiet and came up.
He's still quiet, bro.
Yeah, he is. But he about to get loud as hell after this weekend.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Hell yeah.
If you haven't been to Junction Sound yet, we open this Saturday. Come through.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely come by. I'm gonna be there.
Oh,
Are you playing in the 2K tournament?
Nah, I don't. No, I'm not. I don't want to waste anybody's time.
I'm not that good at 2K too.
Yeah.
If you play me in Smash Bros, though, that's what I could talk shit at.
I don't even have a system, bro.
No?
I disconnected myself from video games, like, when I was early 20s.
I did for a little bit this year. And then it took a game coming out for me to go start back, and after that I just started playing again. But it's a good release. I love it. At the end of the day,
it's therapeutic in a lot of ways. But it's just also very distracting.
It is.
I see a lot of grown men, like, spending a lot of hours on video games.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm like, yo, I get it. The game's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But, bro,
what else you doing during the day?
What are you doing? You're already on your phone how many hours a day? Now you're going to go play video games for this many hours, bro? Come on.
See, before I bullshit, I make sure I have nothing else to do. Or if I have anything pressing that I have to take care of, I've already taken care of it. My thing was smoking, like, throughout the day. Mm-hmm. That's where I had developed an issue over quarantine. So now I'm like smoke in the morning.
Yeah.
Once during the day, once at night.
That's good.
Cause especially like I just smoked out of a pipe. Like mm-hmm. I have a little bowl that okay, I hit so too.
Yeah.
It's not like I don't like backwoods.
Cause it could get expensive.
After being at a studio with Dawson for the last 3 years, I hate backwoods.
Dawson smokes backwoods?
He doesn't. Just the rappers that come to the studio bring backwoods. Yeah, yeah, I'm over it. Made my final decision.
It's pure that way, bro. It's pure through a pipe or something.
Yeah, and it gives me what I need. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be too high. I don't care about finishing the whole thing. I could come back to it later. I don't gotta re-spark it. I don't gotta cut no stems out.
I don't
gotta deal with none of that. I don't care how good it hit, I'm cool.
I'm
still gonna hit it if they're there though, but on my own.
Yeah.
I'm not.
It's a process.
See, it is.
I love
it. I just got decent at rolling. I couldn't roll to this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Bro, I'm a professional roller.
Really?
Yeah,
bro. I just got decent at rolling, but that was this year. Dawson tried to teach me. I'm gonna he tried to teach
me.
Yeah,
backwoods are tough though. If you don't know what you're doing.
I haven't even attempted. I have no intentions.
Bro, they could be because you're not getting the same thing.
Niggas pull out the whole kit, the scissors. I'm like, I got no time for that.
And then you could have like they're not all created equal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you get a bad one or a dry one, it's you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, just, don't let the stem be in the middle.
Bro, they're expensive.
Yeah, niggas are artists, bro. It's an art.
It is. It is. It's fun, bro.
You're crafting. It's dope,
bro.
But it's just not for me. I can't.
Man, bro. My one of my friends, he's a big joint smoker,
mm-hmm.
and he takes the same amount of effort into just rolling joints. He puts the glass tip in there. He
I got a homie that does that. I got a homie in Long Beach. That shout out Steven. Yeah, mm-hmm. he does that. He first time I smoked out of a glass tip was out of a backwood.
Mm.
And it felt like a fucking shotgun. I was like, bro, Jesus.
Yeah, it's smooth.
But it hit good.
It's smooth. Good. Yeah, glass tips are nice. Those funky filters by the, what's his name?
B. I know
what you're
talking about.
The dude Insane in a Membrane.
Yeah.
Dude, be real. Wow. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Couldn't think of his
I
name.
I wasn't gonna figure that out.
Yeah.
I knew
real.
What you were talking about.
Yeah.
Though.
Be real, bro. When did you get your nose pierced?
I put a new piercing in it about a month ago.
Okay.
And the light keeps hitting it, which mm-hmm. is hitting my eye. So I'm like, maybe
fucking
if I
you
twist
up?
It a little bit this
you
way.
You put a Band-Aid on
but
it.
But I've had it pierced for like a year.
Okay.
It's been an ongoing battle. I had both sides pierced. One came out while I was asleep. And I just didn't
they close up real quick.
I didn't wake up in time to put it back in. It's come out a lot while I'm asleep.
Yeah.
But not this one. This one's like an earring, so it has that bracket on the end
of
it.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I would have to remove it.
Okay.
So I cheated the system a little bit.
Yeah, I had one. I used to have one. I used to have a nose ring.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you take it out?
Well, like, I don't know. I think I probably was like, dude, I need to grow up. You know what I'm saying? but, I mean, because I'm not like a... I don't know, bro.
Do you feel like it draws too much attention to
yourself? No, it's just like a phase. Mm-hmm. It's like a phase. But it was a nuisance. Because I remember one time it would always come out when I washed my face or I dried after the shower. I dried and it got hooked on the towel.
I've learned proper etiquette to living life with the piercing. Because like,
you can't take it out either.
There's a certain way you have to dry around your nose. Because boy, don't let that shit snag.
Yeah, bro.
Don't let that shit snag on
you. Yeah. It's fashion, bro. Fashion's a lot of work for me. I'm like the guy who wants to wear the same thing every day. Like, I'll have, like, a gray T-shirt and the same jeans.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, five different pairs of the same thing.
Right.
So I don't have to think about it. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get that for sure, too, because I'll be fooling people, too. I'll be wearing the same shit all the time at the crib. As soon as I post a picture, though, it's something different.
Yeah.
But while I'm by myself, I will wear the same shit.
Yeah,
I don't care.
It's funny. Fashion's funny for me because I like fashion. Mm-hmm. I think it's dope. It's like Jordans. Like, I love Jordans, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've only owned one pair of Jordans in my life.
Really?
What pair? It was the 60 pluses.
Okay.
So they hurt my fucking feet, right? And I only wore one day and I sold them. And
like, I'm over it.
Bro, but I love Jordans, though. Mm-hmm. Ones and everything. But I just don't love them on me. Mm-hmm. I can't wear them.
Okay.
But, like, if you wore them, I'd be like, yo, those motherfuckers
are
nice.
I'm, like, warming up to getting, like, some Nike. I've worn, like, Converse and Vans almost my entire life.
Yeah.
I have Converse on now. Like, almost, I don't know. They just always
work
well.
They're classic. They're timeless.
Yeah, especially with how I dress now, with, like, rolling my jeans and, like, all that. They just work better for how I dress, I feel like.
But a pair of ones, I feel like, are essential.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to cave at some point and get a pair.
Yeah.
Those are just a pair that'll be special occasion, though, because I'll do anything in these shoes, and they'll end up dirty, and I wouldn't want to get ones dirty.
But those, that's like one of those things where it's like almost like bad tattoos. Like, I got a whole bunch of tattoos, right? I never went to the shop. Well, I went to the shop for a few of them, but, like, my tattoos aren't, like, top-tier quality. You know what I mean?
Neither are mine, and I have no intention of getting it. I love my shitty tattoos. Because
they're part of the story.
They're not even shitty. It's only one that I'm not proud of. The rest of them I love.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got my mom's initials when I was 16.
It's your first one?
Yeah, my first one. And I was like, she can't
on
be.
Your chest? Yeah,
no, it's on, my, it's on my arm. You on know what's crazy? I think everybody thinks like I have tattoos on my chest because my arms are covered.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I have nothing. Like, it's on my arms. But
Everybody knows now.
Yep. But my mom's initials on my arm. And I was like, she can't be mad at this. Yeah, she can't be mad at her initials. She was hot. And then for my next tattoo, I got my roses from my grandmother because her last name is De La Rosa. And I was like, yep, Rosa, if you can't be mad at that.
Yeah.
So I just slowly pieced over time.
Yeah. 16, that's pretty young, bro.
In North Carolina, the legal age is... No, it was... yeah, it actually is pretty young. It is pretty young. I think it's 17
young.
In North Carolina.
It's 18 out here.
That was my only one, though. That was my only one until I was... And then at 18, I got the roses, and then after that, I just went crazy.
Well, you're a grown man at 18. What are you going to tell me,
that,
Mom?
Yeah, at that point... Mm-hmm. Yeah, after the Air Force, after I got in the Air Force, well, I can't talk to her like that.
Yeah, fuck you, Mom. No.
say it again.
Yeah, that's just like my whiteness coming out. Like, but you after know, I got to talk to our mom.
After me, I got in the Air Force was when I just got more over time.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my first tattoo when I was 18.
Yeah.
And I spelled my, well, okay, so. My little, I got my last name, my brothers and sisters with their hearts in it, right?
Okay, yeah.
And, but my little brother's name is Reagan. So how do you think you spell Reagan?
R-E-A-G-A-N.
R-E-A?
You said Reagan?
Yeah.
Yeah, R-E-A.
Okay.
Well, my high school was called Ronald Reagan in North Carolina. So
yeah, so I didn't look too deep into how to spell my little brother's name.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of
sounded
it out. Kind of sounded it out.
Hey, bro, I have a story like that.
So, but it's spelled it R A E because like Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Ray is R A Y R A E. That makes sense in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But like R E A to me sounds like Regan.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, nah, I guess not for me because like I've been conditioned.
Yeah.
Like since high school.
So
but.
So I told my mom, like, Mom, you spelt it wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to like console myself.
While I was getting this one done, it's my favorite Bible verse, and it's for what does a man profit if he gains the world yet loses his soul?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, oh shit, bro, I added an extra O in the loses. And bro, I never
three
jumped off
three O's.
No, so it was just it was only supposed to be one. It was only supposed to be one, okay. Not like loose end, but just to lose.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And so I never jumped off a kitchen counter so fucking quick. And
you're
I figured out
counter?
He was joking with me. Yeah, it was at his crib because I had to lay like this.
Oh, okay.
And but it turned out he was lying. But still, you don't do that to people. Like that's permanent.
Yeah, bro. That's funny as fuck. Well, good thing he was just joking.
Yeah, I see him every time I go home.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Are you going to get super blasted, neck and everything?
I don't think I'm going to get blasted. I'm in a current bet for my project, Homecoming. My graphic designer, I had him, the mask that I use that we got as a logo now.
Yeah.
He told me if it hits a million streams that I have to get it tattooed where I put it on the album. And I told him, bet. So we'll see. We'll see if it happens.
Well, it's going to hit a million.
Well, it might. We'll
you're
see.
Halfway there
anything,
without it.
Anything can happen.
You're halfway there without it.
It hasn't come out yet.
No, I know, but you're already.
Yeah,
like,
but you know I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Because I was gonna do. I was gonna just do 333 right here in general, and so I've been warming up to the. I'm still not sold on.
You're just
this,
trying to get your mom a heart attack. Just trying to.
Oh, dude, she's.
But you're being, but you're like, this is your lane. You're an artist.
It is. Like, I'm not gonna do anything else for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I know that. Like, I gave up the military to do this, so I'm pretty sure this is the path for me.
Yeah. Well, you're doing great. You're only 23.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. I definitely feel like I'm too hard on myself sometimes too, because I always push myself to do better, but then I gotta realize there's people that would kill to be in my spot. You know.
Yeah.
So I try and be grateful and like appreciate like the small victories and the things that I have done so far.
Well, that's why you're moving on up, because you have that mentality like I gotta go. I got to take the next step. What's the next step? There's right. no shame in that. It's shame in wanting more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's no guilt in wanting to be the best. You know right. what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just know my brain definitely plays that trick on me. Yeah. Or not even play that trick, but has that want, that desire for more.
Yeah.
You know? I think we all do.
It's never – well, some people think they want more. You know what I'm saying? But they really are kind of cool where they're at.
In real life. Yeah. It's have you seen The Midnight Gospel? Mm-mm. It's this show by Duncan Trussell on Netflix. Mm-hmm. He had a podcast and basically turned it into a show. And they said something on the show basically saying when you look around and realize that things aren't that bad, you start to feel okay where you're at, because you realize things really aren't that bad as far as like your situation.
And yeah, they could be a lot worse.
Take a breath. Take a step back. Mm-hmm. Realize it could be a lot worse than what it is. And enjoy where it is for now. Enjoy what it is for now, because... Yeah. There's no point in moping about it, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you got to remind yourself about that, though. Like, getting caught up in wanting more.
Right.
I can see what you're saying. Like, hit the brakes real quick. Yeah. But you're not, I feel like you haven't even scratched the surface yet. You haven't even, like, scratched your potential yet, bro.
Yeah, but,
you
know, like, I feel like I'm just pushing into a bubble, and I'm just waiting for it to open up, you know. I feel like we're applying so much pressure right now, and it's just gonna get more and more intense. So I just gotta keep my head down and keep moving forward. That's what I'm trying to.
Yeah. Well, it's inertia. You know what I mean? Like, you keep it's momentum. Like, you're working towards something.
Right.
Your focus is on something, and not only your focus, but your team's focus.
Right.
People you have around you is kind of locked in on what you're doing.
I think this is the most excited I've probably been for a project, because I canceled it in June and I just pushed it back for other reasons. But like, bro, somebody made a petition and got signatures and sent it to my manager.
Somebody made a petition?
Yeah,
on Twitter.
Somebody made a petition and had a well-typed out paragraph on an explanation of how they've been told that we were going to drop in June.
Demanding the music.
It's hilarious, but it's hella flattering,
That's
too.
That's so beautiful,
it's
man.
It's hella flattering, too. It annoyed the hell out of him, but I'm just like, bro, at least we know people are excited.
You're annoyed, manager?
Well, if you got kids, like, adding you and DMing you consistently, I can see how it could become annoying. But like,
I mean, yeah, but like, it's like a beautiful. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a beautiful problem to have. Like, I'm not. I made fun of the whole situation too. I was on their side.
A 12-year-old made it to a little 12-year-old made it or something.
I think he's definitely probably older than 12. I think he's like 16, 17.
Yeah,
but
that's
the
cool.
fact that there's a petition out there for homecoming.
are you ready for this roller coaster that you're about to get on?
I feel like I'm on it. Look, y'all already. I feel like it's starting to go up again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is definitely the most traction I've had in a minute. Because while we've been quiet, like, I've been growing as far as, like, my brand-wise and, like, my numbers-wise. Yeah. So this has been going up. And I definitely feel like it's a good time as far as when we're releasing. I didn't even know I was releasing on the first day of fall.
Oh, yeah.
And that's my day, apparently. And homecoming starts in the fall. I had no clue when we chose the 22nd that... It was the first day of fall.
The stars are aligning.
Sure we did.
Da-dum-tsh.
On Spotify now.
Hello.
But, it definitely worked out the way it was supposed to, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm ready to see people's reactions. I'm ready to
get
all the love. Because at the end of the day, like, I put the songs out to try and help people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I get fulfillment enough knowing that this song did something for somebody while they were going through a breakup, or they could relate to it and they felt the need to type out a message or get back into their art. It's like, at the end of the day, that's really what matters. And Dawson was someone that helped me realize that too.
Yeah.
Like, with all these kids reaching out and telling me their stories about, like, how does it feel, did this for them, and they just got out of a breakup, and it did amazing things to help them through that time period. I'm like, bro, this is fulfillment. This is it. This is my purpose. This is what I'm here to do. And it's like, of course, like, I want awards. I want to be recognized. I want all the accolades that come with where I'm at to later on in life. But this is what I want to do on an ultimate scale now, you know?
Yeah.
Be able to help in some form.
Well, that's what a lot of artists get away from, or they never have that in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like fuel, bro. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you help somebody out, you help an old lady go to the, you know, help to take her grocery bags out to her car. You're gonna feel good about yourself. Right. But when you're making music and you're doing something you love, and then you getting that same kind of fulfillment, damn, that's a, you know, you hit the jackpot, bro.
Yeah, bro. I love seeing those messages. I love them, bro. Love them.
Does it kind of scary though? Like,
I don't think I've had anything that scared me yet. Like, I've had some weirdos for sure, but I haven't had like nothing crazy.
Well, it scared you in the sense of like, oh shit, like, these kids are looking up to me.
Yeah, it's pressure. It's a lot of pressure. Just because I feel like I have, I don't feel like I have like their standards as far as like being a role model, but I definitely feel like there's someone out there watching me now, like mirroring what I do, or like at least trying to keep up with what I do and like pay attention to my life in detail. Like somebody, like this was like a year ago, but somebody like took a picture of with my family because they recognized my sister. She went viral on TikTok, and they knew me and my sister, and they took a picture with my mom, and my mom sent it to us, I was like, yo, that's weird as hell.
That's
hella weird.
But it was
friendly. It's friendly, but just like.
But you don't know it's friendly though.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you don't.
Oh, that's scary, bro. So do you feel like you have to? Are you aware of that in the way you move? Like, as far as, like, being private?
For me, with my life, I'm private now. I'm just in general, I'm trying to keep it that way in practice. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good habit, keeping things private.
Yeah.
But I do share a lot. I do share a lot because at the end of the day, these songs are like an attachment of me and like something that I've been through or something that I wrote about, you know? So all of it's true. Everything I write about is true. So it definitely has like real energy and the way I was feeling attached to it too. So in a way, it's like my open diary, a public diary to everybody too. So it's just being willing to be vulnerable. And like, that's why I think my stuff does well, because I'm like willing to share some of this stuff.
Well, you're able to connect with people.
Right.
You know.
I'm just good at wording it.
You can't connect with somebody without making yourself vulnerable.
Yeah.
Especially through through music, you know. You got to peel back those layers and you got to get to the root, to the core. You got to talk about the things that your listeners don't get to talk about.
Right. The things that they don't want to talk about, things they want to tuck away and forget about and hopefully just get over at some point. I think it's just a sense for all of us of just knowing that somebody else is going through it that makes us feel better. Not to say that like, oh, okay, they're going through it too, I'm cool, but just to know, because you start to feel weird in a sense. It's like, why is this only happening to me? When you don't realize there's thousands of other people going through the same shit, you know? And so it just helps. It's comforting in a way from what I've been told too and from my experience. So I definitely think music is a magical thing. It's a fucking magical thing, bro. It's a communication through feeling, you know?
Which is
insane. Like, what else really does that?
Yeah.
What else really communicates through a feeling?
Nothing.
Me and Dawson have had some shit like that happen too, as far as like with music, where just something feels off in a song and we can't put our finger on it, but it definitely doesn't sit right, you know, and we'll figure it out eventually.
You're like tapped into a different frequency. It's a language. It's a language. I feel like artists, they show a little bit too much on like social media and stuff, and I think you need to definitely be vulnerable through your music. But when it's like weird, because you get you got to be totally open in this space, but you got to kind of be private over here, you know?
Yeah, there's a balance to it. There's a balance to everything too. And some people have what works for them as far as sharing.
Yeah.
And some people are just more conservative. I'm kind of in between. I don't really share a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna know like if I had a bad day or something crazy happened just because I don't feel the need to put it out there, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think like Michael Jackson or Prince. Like, these artists were so big, right? Beyond measure, like, famous, you know?
Right.
But I think, when I think about why they were so fucking famous, and you can even think about, like, Jay-Z in today's age, because they're unattainable.
Right.
You know? You can't log on and reach them.
Right.
You know? You can't log on and talk to them or see how they're talking or see a video of them, like, hanging out, like, casually.
Right.
They're unattainable. And so they became like a mystique. They're like, you almost think like, when you think about Jay-Z, it's almost like, bro, are you real? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
or, no, I get what you're saying.
You know, and so I think keeping your private life private and and not engaging too much in social media as far as like your personal behind the scenes shit.
Right.
I think it's even better for your brand almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely get like a lot of behind the scenes shit. I definitely get a lot of that as far as being at Junction, going live, showing mm-hmm. what I'm working on.
Oh, you do that?
Yeah, I'll show what I'm doing for music or like mm-hmm. anything related to me. But as far as like life stuff, like what's going on with my family and like my personal battles and all that other shit, I try to like
save it for the music.
Yeah, save it for the music, mm-hmm. save it for conversations with my friends mm-hmm. and take it on by myself, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't feel the need to put that on social media, you know?
Yeah. When you're in the studio, how do you get to that place mentally to be vulnerable?
It hasn't really, like, I think it just came through getting comfortable with how I sound and mm-hmm. learning how to use my voice and what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And after working with Dawson for a long time, bro, it just became easier. Like, it became easier.
It's so important to have somebody in the studio you trust.
He's a crucial key as far as what I do.
Because
I just mixed myself before, and he added a completely different element when we started working together, you know?
Yeah.
So that got me comfortable to try new things and, like, be willing to try other ideas and, like, start singing more. Yeah, mm-hmm. that was one thing. He got me to sing more.
So you were, like, heavy rapping before?
Yeah, I was rapping before. I was just rapping 4 years ago. I didn't start singing.
Really?
I didn't,
now you're a pop star, bro.
Yeah, I didn't start singing until like.
That's beautiful, though.
Probably 2 years ago. Yeah, like I sang like in school and stuff, but my mission was to make it in rap. Like I had no intentions of being a singer. And then I had a couple songs that I did on my own singing, but I just always like rapping more, and I'm still gonna like mix in between. That's what I love too about like the people that have found me. Like, there's no genre on me.
Yeah,
I'm genreless. I feel like at least too. So I'm gonna put out what I want. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do what I want. It's gonna be a mix of that blend, though.
It's definitely a blend. You know who you remind me of, and I hate. And I'm not gonna say that because I already apologized for that. I already apologized for that. Okay, I'm not gonna say that. But Khalid. Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. Dang.
Your music. It reminded me of like, yo, this is some real pop star shit.
I want to do something with him. I want to write work.
You guys would mesh so well together.
You know what's wild too? I think I met him when I was in the Air Force.
Really?
Yes.
Why, he was in the Air Force too?
No. So I remember his face like very well. But when I was in basic training, so we were at the mall on Lackland Air Force Base, and we're getting the stuff we'll need for that 7 weeks of training. And my cashier just had the craziest flat top, and there was this black dude. And I only saw him like probably 3 or 4 times while I was at that base. But he blew up like 3 months after that. And I was out here at that point too. And I looked him up and I'm like, yo, I swear I've seen him before. I watched an interview. Yeah. His mom was like a master sergeant at that base.
Oh, it was
so
him.
So I'm like, bro, he had to work. He had to work at the base. So
that's a crazy story.
I can't wait one day. I was like, bro, I know you're not going to remember what I look like because I had no hair, no facial hair at that time. But I'm pretty sure you were my cashier.
Bro, that's crazy, bro. That's amazing.
Unless it was just someone else in San Antonio that he has a doppelganger with. But I'm almost certain that I saw him.
If his mom was there, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had a job on base as a kid, too, in San Diego.
Damn. So you grew up in military family?
Military kid, yeah.
Yeah. You traveled a lot as a kid?
I did just from moving, not really because of the military. The only time I traveled because of the military as a kid was moving to North Carolina after my stepdad retired.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like spend summers with my dad, and he lived in Baltimore. And so I'll go back and forth.
Okay.
I spent summers with him, do school years with mom.
Okay. So you didn't spend too much time with your biological father?
I did. They were together when I was younger.
Oh, okay.
But they split when I was young. I started with my dad. And then I don't really have that much memory at the time, too. So most of my core memories were, like, when I got to San Diego with my mother.
Yeah, because
that's where I started originally. I just ended up going to Baltimore and then coming back. And so, but I have a good amount of memories with them. I'm trying to reconnect now.
Are you guys close now or no?
Trying to.
Yeah.
Trying to. I'm making an effort, too, just because with how the world is right now.
Yeah.
I just need to put some things aside and realize that time waits on nobody, you know? It's like if I leave things unsaid for so long about how I felt about certain situations, I'm never going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making steps to get closer with him and get shit back to normal.
How did that affect you as a kid? Like your parents?
I'm really glad I was like raised by my mother. I'm very glad that I was raised by my mother and how I turned out. I feel like that's why I have like more of a an easier approach to things and a laid-back mindset and how I am as a person. I definitely think it was because of how my mother raised me and molded me.
Yeah, did it? Did that situation? Because I'm talking. I'm just trying to like get some insight. Because I'm kind of from a similar standpoint. Like I never met my biological father, and then I have. I don't like to call him my stepdad because he was around since I was really little. But then him as later on in life, him and my mom divorced too. Right. So there's like there's always. But the fact that my biological father wasn't there for me, and then like it's always kind of been like a weird, like. Something like a hole in my heart a little bit.
I definitely understand that feeling just because I saw my dad for the first time last year since 2011.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, since 2011. Like, after I took off with my mom, just the situation I was when I was living with him wasn't the best, and my mom got me out of it. And he had been telling me things that weren't true about my mother for so long. And then when I found out and I told her what was going on, she basically just moved me and officially with her, which changed my life. I would not be sitting in front of you if I didn't move in with my mom, you know? Yeah. If I didn't get in with her. And so really, me and her kind of got like a later start as far as our relationship, later start. But I love her to death. Yeah. She saved my life for sure.
That's dope, bro. Man, I feel like, do we have like a Dear Mama song coming?
I have a song dedicated to my mom. Yeah. I'm saving it though, bro. Like, there's certain records that I have that are too good just to come out right now, just because I want the attention that I feel like these records deserve before I put them out.
Yeah,
you know, like I think they'll do well, but I want to be in like my prime. I want to have all
the most ears.
Yeah, everything, all hands on deck at that time.
Yeah, damn,
she deserves it, bro. She's crazy. So my whole life, my mom has always hit on scratch off tickets. Always hit, bro. She just hit for 500 like 2 weeks ago on a scratch off ticket.
Damn.
And she's been doing this since I was a kid.
Where does she live?
North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
North Carolina. But yeah, she's my mom's side of the family is from Panama. So she's originally from like New York, New London, Connecticut area.
Okay.
But yeah, she lives in North Carolina now.
Nice. Damn, she's just. There's some people that are just so lucky, bro.
Oh, I don't get it.
Like, I don't get it either, bro.
Because she does like a lot of things for a lot of people. She's very sweet. And I just feel like that's like God getting her back at the end of the day, you know?
Maybe. I mean, it's just, but I also know people that are so lucky that are pieces of shit, you know?
Yes, I know them as well, too. And so, I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't get it sometimes, but hey, more power to you.
More power to you, bro. Damn. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Is it weird now, or does it suck that you're out here, like, away from your family?
Yeah, I definitely feel like, because I don't, as far as, like, step siblings, I don't really say step. Like, if we have the same mom or dad, like, we're brother and sister. I never really use, like, that step term as far as siblings go.
It's divisive.
But it has been different being out here because my little sister, she just graduated high school. We were, like, as soon as I graduated, she became a freshman.
Oh,
so I was already
damn.
Out the door, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But as she's gotten older, me and her have gotten closer, you
I bet.
Know?
She probably, like, loves you, bro.
Yeah,
you
know? Like, I love her to death, too. She's doing her thing, about to go start school in Georgia. Like, nice. She's doing really, really well. And, I gotta reconnect because, like, I'm out here by myself. I have family in California, so I go out there pretty consistent before quarantine. I'll go out there. Normally go back to North Carolina, like, once a year.
Yeah.
Cause that's I can handle one.
Yeah, but you know what though? It's like I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm just saying it's like you're navigating the world by yourself out here. You know what I mean? So your mind switches. Your mind kind of goes into survival mode a little bit, and you move a little bit differently, and you see the world a little bit differently, and you're more particular about who you surround yourself with because. Your life depends on it, I think, you know?
Oh, yeah, I definitely have family that'll help me, but I got nothing to fall back out on out here except for friends if something happens, you know? Right. Which I consider family now. I consider a lot of friends out here family that became my family over time.
Yeah, I bet, bro. That's crazy, bro. That's so crazy. You got a story, bro. I didn't know all this about you.
A wild story, man.
This is beautiful,
and it's
bro.
Crazy because, like, while I was in the Air Force, like, I was doing other things, like, having all these other interviews and, like, my supervisor was telling me you can't let nobody know you're in because, like, it's a mix of, like, conflict of interest and, like, some of the things you're saying. So, like,
I was like living with the music?
Like, yeah, like, I was living, like, two lives while I was in the military.
So, what do they call that when you drop out?
Early separation.
Oh, I thought it was something else. AWOL?
Oh, no, that's completely different. Oh,
okay.
I would have served jail time if I did.
Hold on, absent without leave? That's just like not showing
that's
up.
Like, that's AWOL. That's like disappearing and not telling anybody anything. Yeah. Like
That's against like the contract?
Yeah, you get jail time. Yeah, you get jail time. But I applied for early separation when I got to a new squadron.
When did you decide, like, I'm going all in?
I remember I went to South by Southwest, and I came back. We had a great time. I was at a writing camp there. But
writing camp?
Yeah, I did a writing camp there last year. Yeah, last year.
Last year. Just a side little convo. What happens during that?
My homie Surreal Bell, he plugged me with the application.
Shout out Surreal,
here,
yeah.
And I signed up for it last year, and they approved me to come. And so I got to work with different Houston artists while I was down there.
Dope.
And it ended up being really, really cool.
Yeah.
Really, really fun.
So
I got credited.
Is it writing just music?
Yeah, just music.
Damn.
Being like one of the on-hand, it was like seven of us. Like,
that's
being
what
one
I need
of the on-hand
do.
Writers.
That's what I need to do. I need to do shit like that. Because I write scripts video treatments.
Okay, nice.
You know
what
I mean? And I've written songs and shit before, but I want to get that formal training.
Yeah, that's a different type of writing, too.
Yeah,
I haven't even dove into thinking about that.
What? Like scripts?
I've definitely, like, directed a lot of the own shit that I do. And, like, small scripts, but, like, on a bigger scale, I haven't even.
Well, it's easy. You have some short films. You just write whatever in your head. You know what I'm saying? Just describe whatever's in your head as best as you can. But, like, the format and shit is, like, different. Yeah. You know, like, you got to format it. You got to kind of.
Right.
You know, and all that is like, that's what I want to get into. But.
Okay.
Yeah. But what was
your name? Yeah. Coming back from South by. So, like, I was coming into work while I was getting back from South by. Like, I think we got there, like, probably, like, 7 in the afternoon. I had work at 11. Like at the base, because I worked third shift. I worked 11 to 7 in the morning. And I remember, I remember getting there and just being like so sad that like this is my reality.
Back to it.
Like this is it. And I was like, bro, I gotta get out of this. Like I gotta make something change.
Yeah.
And so basically I applied for early separation, and since I was under a new squadron, it got approved. Because they liked me over there.
Mm-hmm.
My other squadron didn't, because they didn't like the idea of me getting out.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't really. There was just a whole bunch of politics.
What do you mean they
didn't
like the idea of you getting out to go pursue something you wanted to do?
Yeah, at the end of the I get it though, because at the end of the day, I did sign that contract and I did say I was going to serve that amount of time.
Okay.
But my heart just wasn't in it no more, and I was a different person. I was falling off, man. I was falling off the edge, and I hated who I was becoming as well.
Yeah.
And, like, it was cool because I was getting a consistent check. Like, I was able to pay for everything. Everything was good. But at the same time, it's just, like, I didn't feel like I was completing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, I knew I didn't want to do that for 20 years.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make that my life.
It's not exciting at all.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Because I already have problems with different areas of my body, like my wrist and my knees because of the Air Force. Why would, like, spend 20 more years just to get beat up and then they give me disability and pay me for the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah.
I'll take my body working for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Even though they're still gonna give me disability because they fucked me up.
Oh, boy. For real?
Yeah, bro. I hurt my back a couple times, my wrist.
Milk that.
Oh, yeah. Got to.
So that's when that was the turning point? I was like, yo, fuck this shit.
Yeah, that was definitely the turning point. I went in the bathroom and cried my ass off, bro.
Damn.
I hated it. But that was definitely a turning point for me.
That's good. A lot of people don't have the balls to do that. A lot of people don't have the balls to say, you know
I
what?
Know
fuck the security of the Air Force and... You know, like,
I didn't know how I was gonna pull it off. I didn't know how the next year was gonna look like, or what, but
just gotta jump in
and not worry about where you land.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, bro.
Yeah, it's definitely
a beautiful thing.
Well, I've definitely realized like the journey is the most beautiful part, it's the most beautiful part rather than the destination,
because it never ends.
It's like some of these conversations that I get to have with people, the people that I get to meet, the things I get to learn, the places I get to see. While it's still genuine, is the best part, you know?
Because
later on, like, I'm not going to be able to have the same type of feeling. It's going to be different, you know?
Yeah.
Wherever the destination is or wherever the end point is, you know?
Yeah. I don't feel like there is an end point.
Yeah, that's why.
We all have our different definitions of success, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's really never ending, because once you reach that, then you're going to want something else, you know? Like, I don't know how you look at life, but I look at life as just, it's just a constant, it's just a long series, not even a long series, very short series of moments that we get to experience.
So for me, I just want to experience as many things as I possibly can while I'm here.
Right.
And not allow fear or other people's judgments or other people's perceptions or expectations get in the way. Yeah. You know what I mean? And we allow that to happen more than I think we think.
I think my whole thing was I didn't want to get to the end of the road and wonder what if, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. That's what terrifies me. That's what really scares me.
You're laying on your deathbed.
Looking back and like, while I had the time, while I was young, I didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, at the end of the day, if I fuck up my 20s because I wanted to chase music, I don't care. Yeah. I have my 30s to make up for
it. You tried.
At least I tried, you know? Yeah. At least I could say I gave an effort for it. And I'm never going to stop making music regardless. You know?
True, bro. It's like the deathbed mentality is what I coined it. It's like it's like you laying on your deathbed and you're looking back on your life. You know you're about to die in the next few hours, and you're looking back and you're thinking, what if or I could have, I should have, you know.
It's like, because you never know how close you are to begin with.
Yeah.
You never know if tomorrow's the day that's going to change everything.
Yeah, man.
And you decided to stop right then. You know,
time
you
have is fine, bro.
Zero clue. Time, it surely is though. God, it's moving hella fast.
Dude, it's scary, bro. It's scary. Mm-hmm. Bro, I was 23 yesterday.
Oh,
you know
really?
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm 29 now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I was like, what? It was
your
birthday?
No, it's like, I'm 23. I was 23 yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It feels like it flew by that quick for you?
Bro, I feel like I'm the same exact person that's still shooting a shot. You know what I mean?
That's good, though. At least you knew who you were younger.
Yeah.
As far as, like, what you were going to end up and what your aspirations and things you wanted to do at that time.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's like... I never thought I'd be doing this because I'm more of an introvert, bro. Like, I can talk to anybody one-on-one, you know, but as soon as there's, like, 5-6 people around here, it's like I'll never have more than 2 people up here to talk because it's just it's too much for me. I can't handle all these different personalities and, you know what I'm saying, it's just too much. But this space, but I've never wanted to really be in front of the camera, you know, but so this is something that is very new to me, but... I knew I had to shoot my shot at something and do something, you know, so.
Yeah, I felt very hot and cold on that as well.
Yeah.
As far as, like, being social, as far as being wanting to be by myself, too.
Yeah.
Because it's just different. It's different moods. I find myself wanting to do both sometimes.
Yeah, but you have to in the game you're in.
Yeah, I don't have network. Choice. Lucky, yeah.
So let's get into this a little bit. Mm-hmm. A lot of artists shoot themselves in the foot because their unwillingness to really network, or they're not meeting the right people, or they're not selling themselves the right way, or whatever. So what could you tell them? This sounds like such a fucking interview question. This is gross, God. but seriously, like, even for me to gain some insight, like, where did you go? To get what did you do behind the scenes?
I tried a bunch of different shit.
Yeah.
I experimented. Yeah. I allowed myself to get ideas from other people. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, like, collaboration is how some of the best shit is made. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I understand there are those people that do everything themselves and want to do everything themselves because it comes out how they like it. And if anybody else does it, it's not going to be exactly how they want it or however they think. But... Mm-hmm. For me, I've noticed the best music that I've come is made through collaboration and working with the people around you and building that chemistry and finding people that trust your dream as much as you do through that collaboration, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like, if you're trying to make a sound, they have to understand what the approach is, too, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely think moving through collaboration, studying other people's rollouts as far as how they dropped, and not dropping on Fridays. Not dropping on Fridays. I don't drop on Fridays. I'm not big enough to drop on Fridays. I think...
Why? People are too busy?
That's the thing. Like, if Roddy Ricch drops on a Friday and I drop on a Friday, people are going to play Roddy first, you know?
Yeah.
Rather, if I drop on a Tuesday when nobody's dropping at all, get those streams up, break through a couple algorithms, and you're sitting pretty on Friday because you hit some different playlists. Like, what's the difference? Like, why do you need Friday as that spotlight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's cool, I get it, but at the same time, I'm trying to maximize as many people as I can while I have their attention. That's why I choose Tuesday.
True.
Tease Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. So from now on, it's Tuesdays?
That's normally when I drop.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a thing. That will start probably on Tuesday.
Until somebody comes in and tries to fuck it up.
Yeah, I won't allow it.
Yeah. Well, so marketing And like mm-hmm. Like, cause I see you. I think we all see it. Artists up and coming, they're not packaging themselves right. They're not marketing themselves right.
Yeah, I just don't. I think people realize that it does take an insane amount of bread put into this to like mm-hmm. get some type of results as far mm-hmm. as investing. But you're investing in yourself.
Yeah.
You're investing in yourself, so that's what you need ultimately. Yeah. But it does take a lot of money, and I understand where that could be discouraging because I was at that point at mm-hmm. one point too. But it's really just finding what works for you. Like I've talked to different people who have gotten their way in, and it's all different.
Yeah,
like, everything's always
different. There's not a playbook.
Yeah, there's not a set way. There's not no direct path. Mm-hmm. Like it's different for everybody.
Yeah. As far as management goes, when did you get a manager?
Me and Jared have been together since...
Jared?
Jared Howard. He's from North Carolina.
Okay.
But
he lives out there?
Yeah, he lives out there.
Oh, so you have a distant manager?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talk to him every day. But he's been managing me since January of 2019. Yeah.
Okay.
January of 2019.
Yeah, really? North Carolina?
It's crazy. We grew up 30 minutes apart from each other and never...
Oh, really?
Never met. He found me on Twitter, and he wrote an article about me on Lyrical Lemonade, and we just kept tabs on each other for a little bit after that. And, he basically told me that he was looking to pick up artists and that he had done this before, but he just mm-hmm. didn't have the time, really. But now, like, he really wants to get after that. And
yeah.
I've only met him in person twice, but that's one of my best. That's one of my best friends. I talk to him every day.
Yo, he hasn't flown out here more? That's crazy.
No, he was out here for Rolling Loud last year.
Yeah.
And I picked him up, and we went. I took him to his Airbnb, and we kicked it for a little bit. And then when I was in North Carolina, I drove to Charlotte to go see him. Mm-hmm. And we kicked it there as well.
This is wild, bro, to me.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, I have, bro, the amount of internet friends that I have that I talk to on a regular basis. Is my graphic designer, never met him in person before.
What's his name?
Bailey.
Okay.
Bailey Unlimited. He's from West Virginia.
Okay.
And I just have hella people that I need to meet. This is why I can't
wait crazy.
For things to get back to some type of new normal.
Your manager, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So when did you feel like you needed a manager?
He kind of I had just gotten out of someone managing me probably like 5 months before that, just because he went back to school and like he had his own life he had to worry about. And so I was managing myself, and I was I basically had like a fake email that I created with some A&R
management at
with some A&R that used to work at some label that was representing this new act myself.
Yeah.
And Jared basically asked me about it, and I just told him the truth and what I had been doing as far as like using that to get my
why
name.
Why did you feel like you had to do that though? Just because to look more official.
People weren't gonna respond to poppychulatj@gmail.com, but if they see the headlining with blank blank former A&R at, they're more likely to open.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of the attention I did off of that for a while. Yeah. But then I talked to Jared, and he basically told me his plan and how much he liked my music and what he thought we could do with it. Mm-hmm. And we just became friends really before he started managing me. We became really good friends and someone that I trusted, and I'm really glad that it worked out the way it did, because he's responsible for a lot of the things going on right now.
I know.
And that's the thing. So wild, I'm the only one. Like, he manages like 3 other artists in North Carolina that are going the fuck off right now.
Really?
Lil Shock, Tino, Deucey. Like, yeah, they're doing great.
Damn. So, that is so crazy, because that's such a trusting position.
Yeah.
You have to, as an artist, I feel like you have a pretty good compass on who to trust and who not to. And I think that probably comes from you moving around so much and being, you know what I mean? But
yeah, it was a lot of things that he brought up and did that made me hella comfortable and showed me this is like, he truly like believes.
Are you in management contracts?
Nothing signed between us yet.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, nothing signed
between us. Keep it that way. Keep it that way. Because I know some people that I was like this too. I used to manage, you know what I'm saying? I used to manage a few guys out here and I fell into it initially, into like, I'm not putting any work for you if you don't sign this contract, because how do I know you're not just going to pick up and leave me hanging, you know?
Right.
But it's not about that when you're coming up. It's about trust. It's about synergy.
Like, we're getting to the point where we're going to have something signed like very soon.
No, there comes a point where you need it.
Yeah, but like, that's literally how our mold was. Like, bro, he did so much for me for free for a whole year, you know, and it's like, I'm just forever grateful that he really believes in me that much and like took the time. Because there's shit that he does that just doesn't get seen, like all the emails and all the phone calls that he takes and just.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you. Like, what do you expect a manager? Because I see a lot of artists that take on a manager that one, the manager doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, and two, the manager, you don't need a manager yet. You know what I'm saying? To me, I feel like a lot of artists don't need managers until there's something to manage.
Yeah, and that was the same thing with him and the artists that he chose to pick up too. It's like. It's not, he wasn't really looking to build a brand or like find someone and start from scratch. Like, he came to us when we all had something to offer as well, too, because his connections were exactly what we needed as far as being in front of the right people and as far as all that goes. He was definitely like the plug that we needed, too. Yeah. So I came to him with like a brand that I had already like established.
Yeah.
Or he found me with the brand that I already established. Right. But really, as far as expectations, if I can do it myself, then I'm not really. Gonna need a manager, but yeah, bro, his plugs, his insight, his advice.
Yeah. Well, it's collaboration, like you said, bro. Mm-hmm. It's just a different kind of collaboration. It's not just involve art, it involves business, but
right, like writing these rollouts, coming up with different ideas. Like, he's doing more than a manager right now, you know, and that's what I need. Yeah. That's what we all need, in a sense, you know.
Yeah, so it's not about having a manager. It's like having a girlfriend. It's not about having a girlfriend. It's about having the right girlfriend.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. If you're just rolling around with like anyone that just wants to have a manager as a title, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of artists, they need to do more on
just work on your craft and get better at your music first.
Yeah, you have nothing to talk about if your music sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, just work on your craft. Get better at that. And everything else will come when the music starts to get better.
Yeah. That was great. I love that little conversation we just had, because from my management, like, kind of mind, I kind of see things can get, you know, in my experiences, things can get sticky. And, you know, it's like, because money's, or it's not money, but especially in the early process, like, we're not making no money, bro. Like, what are we arguing about? Or you know what I mean? Or,
yeah, like, I never saw no real bread off music till this year, like, at all.
Yeah,
and that's through him. And it's like, you know, so it's like, at that point, I'm like, all right, I have to do something for him. I have to get something on paper with him. He's helping me generate all this and get me in front of all these people.
Yeah,
it's like, this wasn't happening on my own, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I'm definitely that's my bro for life.
He proved himself. Yeah. Allow somebody to prove themselves, because first before you
and
do
I've anything. And I've gotten better since we got together too. So it's almost like I had to keep up and make sure that my stuff was worth him taking all this time and emailing all these people.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. Well, I'm happy you found somebody that. It's just crazy to me that you guys have only met twice. Yeah,
bro, he has a whole management group now.
Oh, word?
Yeah, like, I haven't met the rest of the management group except for, like, FaceTime and talking to them on the phone and stuff. But been working with Stray Dogs for, like, a year.
That's Stray Dogs?
Stray Dogs.
I like that. That's dope. Mm-hmm. That's dope. That's dope. So what you got coming up? You got a project coming now.
Got Homecoming on the 22nd.
You tell them about the song you featured on that you got me on feature?
It's not mixed
when I got
yet.
A verse.
It's not mixed yet.
You didn't tell him yet.
I ain't say nothing yet.
Yeah, it's exclusive.
Spoiling
bro.
It.
That's exclusive, bro.
But yeah, on the 22nd, I got Homecoming coming out on the 22nd, first day of fall. Really excited.
Beautiful.
I think people are gonna enjoy it. I put a lot of work into it. Danny put a lot of work into it. Dawson put a lot of work into it.
That's Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Ooh, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I drop on Tuesdays.
Oh shit, that's Tuesday.
Yeah, and it was supposed to come out in like June. And it's just, I feel like I've gone through every
Well, you're
going
to be able to talk about it one day.
Yeah, I feel like I've gone through everything in the world trying to get this project out. And that's what just gives me a special feeling about it.
How many songs?
It's just two. Just two.
Two songs.
Two songs. Do Better, Burn in the Sun.
Two songs.
Mm-hmm.
Two songs
Driving
by Tej on a Tuesday.
Yeah. It's a vibe, look.
Yeah, it's a vibe,
bro. Two songs by TJ on a Tuesday.
Yo, are these...
That's a tongue twister.
What's up, man? Are these short projects, small projects? What's the thought behind those?
People's attention spans are short.
Good job, man. Keep it short and simple, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, people are calling it... I'm letting them call it... I just call it a project. People are calling
it
an album.
They can call
it
whatever they want. Who cares? Yeah.
But at the end of the day, putting out something that has two songs on it, because people's attention spans are short. And... Yeah. I didn't want to put my energy into a full project yet because I'm not where I want to be when I want to put out something like that.
You're just giving them an appetizer before, yeah, you know what I mean?
Something that'll do well. Yeah. Do well streaming-wise. And when I get the audience I want, trust me, I want to do an album. I would love to, like, dig in with producers and lock in, and that be my sole focus, and create a sound that just flows cohesively together.
Man. You're patient, bro. I love it, bro.
Bro, like, I have so many songs. I've never been in this position before.
Is it hard not to drop these songs? Or is it easy because you know that it needs to be packaged
it's
right?
It's easy, yeah. It's easy just because I know it needs to be packaged right, and I'm just waiting for the audience I want to get there.
Good job, bro. That's such a thing that more artists need to take in consideration. Don't just make songs and put it out.
Yeah, and it's like I'm not shading anybody that puts out projects. At a smaller term, but just right now, for me at least, I feel comfortable doing 2 singles to a single, you know?
Yeah.
Just because it has a better chance of that single going up than your whole project going up when you don't have that many people listening to begin with right now, you know?
Yeah. No, I feel you. It's like once you get the music done, you're halfway there now. Mm-hmm. Now you gotta like put everything else around it, and then you can release it if you want the results you want. Like,
yeah, your rollout's gotta be important. That's always gotta be an important part.
Anticipation, building that, building, you know, the graphics, your whole brand, everything is like meshes in together. And with you and your brand and like your videos and your lyric videos, it's so cohesive. Over time, it's been cohesive.
That's good. I try to make sure that it fits.
Yeah.
It fits what I normally do or what people view it as now too. Or what I just think fits for my style or my vibe too.
Yeah.
So that's dope. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, you're mindful. It tells me that you're mindful of what you want people to see, you know what I'm saying? And what you like, that it's just consistent and people have something to connect to, and you're not like all over the place, and they don't know, they can't latch on to something.
Yeah, that was kind of like, because my name it's wild right now. I have 2 Spotify accounts, one under the name Tej and one under Poppy Shield Tej. Yeah. So it's like I'm learning how to bring all those fans from Tej over to Poppy Chulo Tej and show them that I have new music, which we've done. I think it's working pretty well as far as how we, like, we're able to, like, get them to come over to that page.
Well, that's cool, because you're, like, you're bringing them along, your growth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, some kid messaged me yesterday because I took an old project down called Woodstock, and it was, like, it was good. It had some bright moments on it, but it was just not it. And he DM'd me and he was like, "Yo, bro, why'd you take that down?" And I was like, I didn't think anybody was listening to that. Like, that was one of my lowest streaming projects because it was so old.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show that there's a taste for everything. and there's someone out there listening for sure.
They take music takes on on a life by itself.
But on the Tej profile, my old song "Bye" that just broke 400,000 this morning.
Yeah, I saw that.
That one started blowing up. I was gonna take that project.
I couldn't find that. I couldn't find it on Apple.
On Apple?
Or maybe it was.
Did you look under Tej or Poppy Chulo Tej?
See, probably
that one's under Tej. That's like my old stuff.
Yeah,
that
was.
That
yeah.
project is how my manager found me actually.
Oh, really?
That's crazy. That project it did okay, but like if I didn't drop that, he would have never
that's
found
crazy.
Me. So I think that was definitely a staple at one point.
Why Poppy Chulo Tej?
That's always been like my social media handle. My grandma always called me Poppy Chulo.
Oh, really?
Growing up, and Tej.
You're Hispanic? Oh, you did say what's your mom's last name?
So my grandma's last name is De La Rosa.
Okay,
they're from Panama.
Oh yeah.
But
okay.
What was I saying? Oh, I lost it.
Your grandma's calling you Poppy Chulo.
Yeah, and my history teacher in high school called me Tej because I went by TJ.
Nice.
And just meshed the two together after that, and it.
So
it
why
didn't
so?
But Poppy Chulo Tej came because Tej is also the name of like a festival that goes on in India for women. It's just like a celebration of women every yearly.
Oh, really?
Or something. I know it's some type of festival that.
Sure,
has
that's
that
not
name.
In America, bro.
No, not at all. But every time you would Google Tej, that would pop up first. So Poppy Chulo Tej was just so distinct. And
It is because there's a lot of little. There's a lot of Tejes out there. Little Tejes.
Like I always thought about going back to Tej, but I don't know if I want to.
No, you can't now.
You don't think so?
No, you already jumped the broom, bro. It's over with now, bro. You are who you are,
I still got 2
bro.
Accounts. I could draw some on another one.
It could be like, you could play it to where it's like your alter ego.
You know what I was going to do? I was going to drop my rap shit on the Tej. I was going to
drop your singing shit on Poppy Chulo.
I was going to do that, but
wavy.
I feel like it's too early to do that.
No, it's not. No, it's not, bro.
It's just so, like, bro, there's so much going into. I just wish I could mesh them into one.
Bro, it's.
Without, because without, like, getting all my old songs to the new account, I would have to like get the codes, get them over to my new distributor, remove them down.
Yeah.
And nobody's giving me a representative from that side to like sit down and get it done. Like, I've been trying to do it for a while, but
it's a process.
I'm just not priority enough right now, which is cool. It's good. I'm not mad, but it would be nice to have all my stuff in one place.
Well, it'll happen eventually. Yeah, I'm sure that's a simple thing.
And it's cool because it's like, I low-key feel like for the people that are listening to me, it's like their secret. It's their secret because they have zero clue like that. Well, there's a lot of people that have zero clue that are about new to me about the Teach page. You know?
Yeah. That's a man. So, hey, where's your management, bro? Mr. Howard?
Yeah, he's been No, it's not him. This is definitely not his fault. It's definitely not his fault.
Yeah, man. You could do so much with that. You can be two artists in one, bro.
Yeah.
What was that?
I am right now.
What was that T-Pain? Did T-Pain do something like that? No, I'm thinking of Lil Wayne and Drake when they did verses. But you can do a verses album, but you verse yourself, bro.
That would be hard.
That would be hard, bro.
It'll be a collab project, low-key.
Damn, Daniel.
Two different mindsets, me from, like, 2016 and me now.
Well, it's just rapper versus singer.
I still rap, like, on a regular,
You freestyle?
I used to freestyle way better than I do now, but like I still try to.
It's just a muscle, bro. It's a mental muscle, bro.
Yeah, it's definitely like I've gotten better, like way better at freestyling and singing and coming up with melodies.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where my strong suit was, but I still like try and pitch stuff to other people. So that's why I make rap music, because it's fun and to be able to pitch it as well.
So I always
got my hand in that pot too. But
damn, we're at 1:30.
Oh, really?
My man Paul just gave me the go to.
Yo, we've been talking for 1:30.
Dude, I lose track of time, bro. This has been such a great convo, man. Let's wrap it up, man.
I appreciate you having me. I had an amazing time, bro.
I appreciate you taking the time.
You're doing something really good for Vegas too.
Thanks,
so this is a good staple.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day, man.
No problem.
We're looking forward to Teach Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
He got two songs
coming out on the 22nd. Go use the Instagram filter app. Go download that. Share it with your family. Appreciate you guys. Send me everything. Tag me in it. I want to see it all.
Hello. Thanks, brother.
Appreciate you.
All right, man. Woo. Dude, 1:30?
I didn't even. Bro, I thought we were just touching 1 hour.
I know, but I started to think about it because this water just flew through me. Right.